Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
IVF, something we've talked about many, many times. We talk about it really frequently, actually, here on Lunchtime Live. I know it's something that's of interest and a lot of our listeners going through the IVF journey. I don't need to tell you, it can be an extremely challenging time for anybody, for any couple, not just on the body, but on the finances and even just trying to get your head around the whole IVF situation. But it too can have a huge impact, like a really significant impact on relationships. And that's something former TV presenter and model Michelle Doherty, who's my next guest, knows all too well about. Michelle, this is something you went through. You've had a tough couple of years of it.
I sure have, yes, unfortunately. After I had Max, our little boy, 11, he's 11 years now, we had four miscarriages in a row, which completely blindsided me because I got pregnant so easily with Max. And then after that, we tried three attempts at IVF and none of those worked either. We couldn't even get healthy eggs from that, which is pretty soul destroying. And also you kind of feel like a bit of a failure as a woman, that you think that should just happen naturally for you. And when it doesn't, it really takes a toll on you.
And particularly difficult, and Michelle, probably, as you said, and I'm sorry to hear that. I know it's a really difficult thing to go through. And as you know, as you say, particularly, I suppose, having conceived, you know, near, I don't want to say quite easily, but obviously without difficulty in the first in the first instance.
Yeah, that's exactly it, and it never happened in my family. Like, well, my sister has five children, my other sister has two, and Mum obviously had five of us as well. So I'd never had experience with it. So I just found it really hard to accept and hard to deal with, if I'm being honest with you. So the IVF stuff, and then obviously then, you know, when they do the investigation, it was that my eggs were of bad quality, which comes down to being an age thing, and you beat yourself up about, oh my God, I shouldn't have left it this late to start having children. But the thing is, if you don't meet the right person, you can't just start having children earlier in life, you know. So that was a tough thing to accept. Yeah. So then we thought about doing getting an egg donor, which we did. So we went through Prague for that, and we got 3A grade embryos, which is, I'm like, okay, well, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And the three of them failed as well.
Oh, God. And that's a huge lead. There's an awful lot of, I suppose, the trauma of that, Michelle, for you and your husband at the time must have been very difficult.
Yeah, it was. Oh no, it was. I mean, the final transfer, because I couldn't get the final transfer until after COVID, so I had to wait for that period of time. And then when the final one didn't work, I had pretty much rock bottom then, and that's why I ended up going into that rehabilitation place, because obviously I hadn't been dealing with the grief and the trauma of everything that had happened to me. And so I just had nothing left to give.
Do you mind me asking, Michelle, did you talk about it at the time, I suppose, from the, you know, maybe the finding it difficult to conceive yourself naturally, going through the IVF journey, then the egg quality, you know, the difficulties around that, the egg donation. Did you and your husband, did you speak about it to anyone or family or friends even at the time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
No, okay.
Well, you know me, I talk about everything. I don't hide anything, but I don't, like, but I'd been seeing a counsellor the whole time, but it's just, you just pick yourself. If it's something that you want so bad, you just pick yourself up every time and off you go again. And there's just so many times that you can do that, and it just takes an absolute toll on you, takes an absolute toll on your partner, because I was obviously carrying a lot of anger as well and probably wasn't dealing with it the right way, and pushing him away as well, which was a lot for him to have to deal with. So it literally took its toll on our relationship, and it took an absolute battering. We just, we had nothing left to give by the end of it.
Yeah. And at, you know, at that time, your son, Max, is roughly what age?
So, hang on a minute. So he's 11 now. I think the final one then was, about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, so he's...
So he would have been about eight, nine.
Yeah, 8 or 9 years of age, yeah. And I suppose that, yeah. That's difficulty. It's probably difficult then, I'm sure, and you and your husband are mindful of that and, you know, I suppose what he's hearing or picking up on. And I suppose there's an awful lot of bureaucracy and like it's time-consuming, the whole IVF process and egg donation and travelling and sure everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, and you're trying, and obviously I try to protect him because, but he we have a very close bond and he just can read me like a book, but yeah, you just, and that's another, like it's like a performance, you're trying to cover up the pain that you're going through to protect him, to not, you know, let it affect him, and there's only so much of that you can do as well.
The toll of infertility and IVF on your relationship, how impactful was that, Michelle?
That's why we're not together anymore. Yeah, it just tore us apart. I mean, it's, I don't know if you've ever gone through IVF, but it is the most horrendous thing that you could ever put your body through. Your hormones are all over the place. It's just, I describe it as one of the cruelest things that I've ever had to put myself through. And I know so many women who've had to do it as well. And it's just, it just eats away at you. And then when it doesn't work out, whatever about you're putting these injections in your stomach every day, and then this gamble that you're taking that, you know, they're going to retrieve these eggs and that's going to be your new baby. And then when that doesn't happen, it's just, oh, the psychological part of it is just, yeah, it really is extremely painful and a lot to try and deal with. And then because your partner doesn't know that, you know, what you have to put into your body or what the effects of it, they don't really, you feel that they don't really get it. So you can be a bit like, well, for me anyway, I was a bit like, you don't even know what I'm going through. So pushing Mark away. And that wasn't fair either because, no, he didn't know what I was going through. But, you know, if I didn't talk to him about it, how was he supposed to help as well? So I didn't really communicate very well because I was just so angry about everything.
I suppose it's the unknown, Michelle, you know, and it's the unknown about, you know, and the difficulties of going through, you know, going through the whole IVF cycle physically and mentally, you know, on you and on your body.
And you can't help but, like, you pin all your hopes on this. You just get your hopes up so much. And then when it doesn't happen, it's just, yeah, it just break it, like, it just broke me over and over and over again. And I didn't learn from each time. I just couldn't help but get my hopes up because I love being a mom. I love children and I couldn't accept that I could just have one child. And I know a lot of people say, oh my God, well, isn't she lucky she had one child? I'm like, yeah, I get that. But that wasn't how my little life had been planned. I wanted to have a sibling for Max. Not that I wanted a big family, but I wanted to have him, to have someone to grow up with.
You and your husband made the really difficult decision, Michelle, to separate after this.
Yeah. So, look, we sort of drifted a lot. We drifted apart very much so after that. And just, you know, our relationship broke down. So I wasn't, like, we weren't speaking to each other in a nice way. And, like, just. Yeah, just going through the motions. And I just thought, you know what? I don't want Max growing up in a house like that. I just don't think it's fair on a child. Like, you know, whatever about that me and Mark could handle how we were dealing with things, it's not fair for him to experience that. So we'd obviously gone to counselling and tried to figure it out that way. But unless our hands were being held by a counsellor every day, we just couldn't seem to figure it out. We couldn't get it to work. We couldn't get it back to where it was. And then we made the really hard decision to separate then. And because a friend of mine said to me, two happy homes are better than one unhappy home, which I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And
God, it seems so, it's such a sensible statement though, isn't it, Michelle, when you say it like that, you know, when you...
No, honestly, it's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, it is so sensible. And thankfully, it is the case for us. But I know a lot of people who separated, there's a lot of different things that can go wrong if there's infidelity or, you know, if there's other, like, physical abuse or whatever. But thankfully, our relationship is very, very amicable. We have a lot of respect for each other. We do 50-50, so it's 1 week on, 1 week off. Because, obviously, as a mom, you want to have your child with you all the time, but I also had to accept that Mark is a big part of Max's life. He is his dad, and I wanted them to have an amazing relationship, which they do, which is great. And it also gives him a chance to spend his time with Max as well, whereas I think maybe because Max was an only child, I sort of took, I was like, I put everything into him nearly. It's like, you know, I placed a lot of my love and comfort in him. And yeah, Mark could have felt that he didn't really get a look in. So that's not easy either for someone on the other side. So whereas now we both get to have week on, week off with him. And we just live like 5 minutes away from each other. So it means that we see each other all the time.
And you're obviously both based in Sydney, in Bondi, isn't it?
We're in Bondi, yeah. We're both in Bondi, yeah.
It sounds like you've a really, you know, amicable arrangement and setup rather than even separation, Michelle, for a stranger looking at
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, I suppose it is. Like, a lot of people are, like, they can't get over how well we do. And even our families, they're just, you know, they're like, I'm so happy to see that you know, it's not, that's it, you're out of my life now. Like, Mark will always be a part of my life. He's Max's dad, and his family will always be a part of my life, and vice versa. And we have a little boy who's happy. He doesn't, you know, he gets to spend time with both of us, and every Sunday we try and have lunch together as well. So whoever doesn't have Max, it breaks up that week for them. And yeah, and he's always forgetting something either at my house or his dad's house. It's like, I have to pop up and get something. Yeah. I'm like, yes, come on then.
You're just a stone's
You're
throw.
You're welcome.
But Michelle, I think it's, you know, I think it's really fascinating to hear you talk about this, because I know of quite a few people in your situation privately, but I've never really heard anybody actually talk about this so openly. Like, I've heard people obviously share their experiences so many times on Lunchtime Live about, you know, going through IVF and the impact that it can have on them, but you so rarely hear people talk publicly about the impact that it has on relationships. It's huge.
Yeah, well, I've always been, look, I think because I've experienced it and I know what it feels like to go through even the miscarriages. Like, people didn't talk to me about miscarriages, whereas I very openly talked about my miscarriages. And the amount of people that reached out to me and said that it helped them so much, because they just felt like they were suffering in silence. And I'm like, that's not fair. Like, it's a pain. You know, the minute you see that positive pregnancy test, you're already planning that child's life. And then when it doesn't happen, that pain and that disappointment and heartbreak is just so hard to cope with. So when someone gives a voice to it, it feels validated almost. And that's why I've always made a point of, you know, of talking about stuff like this, because it's important.
Am I right,
anybody going through stuff on their own.
Yeah, well, it's so important to hear the experience. And also, Michelle, I think even, you know, to hear the arrangement that you and Mark have arrived at, and actually how content and how happy you are, you know, with that. And I think it's a really important message for other people listening to the show today to hear as well. Am I right in thinking you're currently studying to be a counsellor too? Has that helped?
Sure. Yeah, as if I could get the time to get it finished. But to do it. But no, it definitely gives amazing tools, and it's great. I find it really interesting. The like how our, from the minute we're born, can just form how we grow up to be adults. I just find it so, so interesting. But again, like I always think like everybody should speak to a counsellor, because there's nobody I know that doesn't have some little things that bother them and they don't know why. And it's just such, it's such a good way to get, you know, get stuff off your chest and have this understanding of, ah, I'm not a bad person, or I'm not a weak person. I just have, you know, this may have affected me earlier on in life, and now it's still staying with me, and I just want to, yeah, figure out why I act the way I do.
Well, Michelle, look, I want to thank you, you know, really sincerely for sharing your story with us today on the show, because I know it's not an easy thing to do, you know, and particularly when it's not just your own personal experience with miscarriage and IVF, but also the impact that too has had on your relationship with Mark and Max as well. But look, I really appreciate your time, and thanks so much again for joining us here on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's nice to talk to you again.
Me too. It really resonates with a lot of our listeners, Michelle, and I am not in any way surprised to hear that. Even as this one particular texter says, it's so, so sad and so hard, and a lot of us have gone through this, but well done for actually articulating it on air and speaking out about your experience today. The email, if you want to share your own story with us, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.